In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we are reminded that we are in the hands of Jesus. It's a wonderful, beautiful thought that we are in His hands. He says something like this, "My sheep know My voice, and they follow Me, and they shall never perish, and no man can pluck them out of My hands. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of My Father's hands." That's John, around verse 27, 28, and 29. And that's a wonderfully blessed truth, that I am in the Father's hands. There's another sweet figure of speech concerning our relationship with God, and that's found in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says, "I am on His shoulders." When the good shepherd went and brought the lost sheep back, it says he findeth the sheep, and he places the sheep on the shoulders of the shepherd. And that's a wonderful thought. God holds me in His hand, and God puts me on His shoulders. You know, a lot of folks think that when that sheep came back, the shepherd said, "Now you hold on to me, little sheep. Stick your mouth around my finger here now, and hold on for dear life. If you hold on faithful as we go back, then you can get back to the Father." No, the shepherd didn't say that. The Bible says the shepherd put the sheep on his shoulder and carried him back. And so we're on his shoulder. There's another sweet statement found in the Gospel of John, and that statement is, we're on His bosom. The Bible likens our resting on Jesus to resting on His bosom. And then there's another. The Bible says that we're on His heart. He's thinking about us. He thinks about us, and His mind is on us. And let this mind be in you, it's also Christ Jesus. In Psalm 8 it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him? God thinks about us. So these sweet figures of speech remind us of somewhat of the love of God for us. On His shoulders, we're in His hands, we're on His heart, we're on His bosom. But I think one of the sweetest of the figures of speech in the Bible is the figure of speech which says we are to be at His feet. You recall when John on the Isle of Patmos saw Him in the great revelation of Christ in John chapter 1. He said that His mouth was as many waters, and His feet were like fine brass, and He had had white hair, and He was dressed in a robe, and so forth. And John looked at Him and said, "I fell at His feet as dead." At His feet. Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we as God's people must be, at His feet. All the time at His feet. Down, 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 down to His feet. Humbling ourselves and exalting Him. Looking up to Him and not down. At His feet. Down, high looks fall at His feet. Down, proud thoughts fall at His feet. Down, self-esteem fall at His feet. Down, self-exaltation fall at His feet. Down, haughty spirit fall at His feet. Down, conceit fall at His feet. Down, self-praise fall at His feet. Down, legal hopes fall at His feet. Down, selfish ambitions fall at His feet. God wants you and me to humble ourselves and fall at the feet of Jesus. Well, turn off number 3 now, if you would, please. Fall at the feet of Jesus. Now, there are 5 times in the Gospel of Luke, and they're so close together, when our Lord tells us about someone who falls at the feet of Jesus. I'll just give you a few of them starting. In the first place, a lost sinner fell at His feet. The first time we have in the Gospel of Luke these words, as far as I know, at Jesus' feet, or at His feet, is when a lost sinner fell at His feet. Now, the Bible tells about our Lord being in a certain place, and a sinner lady, a sinful woman, the Bible says, comes to Jesus. The Bible says that she bathes His feet with her tears. The Bible says that she breaks an alabaster box of ointment and there anoints His feet. And then she kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed the sweet feet of Jesus Christ. Why does our Lord begin in Luke with a sinner coming to His feet? Why didn't the Lord talk about Mary of Bethany coming to His feet first? because the Lord wants us to know the first thing you're supposed to do is come to his feet for salvation. How do you get saved? At Jesus' feet. No? Oh, no. Oh, no. Not the confessional booth. At Jesus' feet. Oh, no. No. Not in the baptistry. At Jesus' feet do you get saved. Oh, no. Not at the altar of confirmation. No. At Jesus' feet do you get saved. No. You don't get saved at the feet of good deeds. It's at Jesus' feet. No, you don't get saved because you kissed the big toe of Peter in the St. Peter's Basilica. It's at Jesus' feet. No, you don't get your sins forgiven because you bow down in front of the Pope and ask the Pope to forgive you. He's got enough sins to get forgiveness of himself. And no, it's at Jesus' feet. No, you don't get saved at the communion cup. It's at Jesus' feet. No, it's not the Holy Eucharist. It's Jesus' feet. No, it's not the sacred stairs in Rome. It's Jesus' feet. No, it's not holy days. It's Jesus' feet. No, it's not joining the church. It's Jesus' feet. No, it's not belonging to a certain denomination. It's Jesus' feet. Oh, you sit with the house. I'm going to heaven. I'm a Catholic. No, you go to heaven because you come and bow at Jesus' feet and ask God to save you. Oh, you say, but I'm a member of the Masonic Lodge, and look at my ring here. I have a Masonic ring. You'll die and go to hell. That won't mean any more to you than a bathtub ring if you don't get born again. Now, you've got to listen to me. You get saved at Jesus' feet. You're not saved because you think you're going to the heavenly lodge above, because you're talking about the worship of Master. You're not saved because you go to some priest and confess your sins through a telephone booth. You're not saved because... You're saved because you come to a place where you realize you cannot do a thing to save yourself. You can't do it. The church can't do it. The baptistry can't do it. Communion table can't do it. The priest can't do it. The Pope can't do it. And you hurl yourself at Jesus' feet and say, oh, Jesus, I've tried to save myself, and I can't do it. The church couldn't do it, and the preacher couldn't do it, and the Pope couldn't do it, and the priest couldn't do it, and baptism couldn't do it, and good deeds couldn't do it, and a new leaf couldn't do it, and joining the church couldn't do it, and the Baptist couldn't do it, and the Methodist couldn't do it, and the Catholics couldn't do it, and the Jews couldn't do it. And you hurl yourself at Jesus' feet and say, Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for sinners, and I trust what you did for me on the cross as my hope for heaven. No longer is it what I do, but what you did. No longer is it my works, but your works. No longer is it my holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. And I receive you as my Savior, just as this poor, sinful lady came. And oh, listen, that's the way you ought to come. She came and she took the alabaster box of ointment and break it and anointed the feet of Jesus. She didn't hug him around the shoulder. She didn't kiss him on the cheek. She didn't feel worthy. She didn't reach up to his hair. No, she couldn't do that. She didn't feel worthy. She couldn't even lean on his breast. She was unworthy for that. She just fell at his feet. And the Bible said she began to weep, and her tears formed a pool of water. And with that little pool of her own tears, she washed the precious feet of Jesus and took her own hair and dried his feet with her own hair. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Why? Because she was good? No, she wasn't good. Why? Because she tithed? No, she didn't tithe. Why? Because she joined the church? No, she didn't belong to a church. Why? Because she got baptized? No, she'd never been baptized. She did the only thing you'll ever do to get your soul to heaven. She did the only thing you'll ever do that'll let you walk down the golden streets of glory. She did the only thing you'll ever do that'll get you through the pearly gates. And that is, forget what you can do to save yourself. And look to Jesus and say, Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And the moment you in contrite faith bow your knee before him and fall at his feet, and in faith trust him and not your own self. Trust him and not your church. Trust him and not your holy days. God pity these people going to Ash Wednesday. And probably burn some wood or something, get some ashes and put some on your head. Good night in the morning. That won't do you any good. That just makes you a smoking sinner. That's all it does. Won't do you any good. I mean, I'm saying it's not the end. You criticize other denominations. I'm criticizing anything that says they can forgive a single sin other than Jesus Christ. That's what I'm criticizing. I recall one time in Texas, a fella came to the service. He's sitting right back here, about two-thirds back, and I was preaching on the new birth. And I started preaching on you got to get born again. And this fellow was an escaped convict from the middle ward of the Texas Penitentiary in Huntsville. And big tall fella, he jumped up and said, "I like what you're saying." Well, I found out who he was. I said, "Okay, then I'll change it. I wouldn't want to make no, I didn't say that either. I kept on preaching the new birth. And Leon Dillard, one of our deacons, big old fella, used to be a bartender. He's the one who said when he got saved, he said, "What do I do now?" And I said, "You ought to start giving a tenth of everything to God." He said, "I don't know what a tenth means, but I got two fists out in the car. I let him have." And that's the one. And Leon Dillard, great big old guy, he stepped back behind this big ex-convict. And when the ex-convict stood up again, he just reached up and grabbed him the shoulders and said, "Sit down." And the fella got mad and jumped up. And Leon said, "Sit down." And the fella got mad again. He said, "Sit down." That's all I'm doing. Anytime some big, I don't care if he's got the seat of his riches around his neck or not. I don't care if he wears a bow tie, a long tie, or no tie. If he says he can forgive a sin, I'm going to say, "Sit down. You are fake. You are a fraud. You're a liar. You can't forgive a sin." Every time somebody steps up and says, "Baptism will take you to heaven," I say, "Sit down." The way you get to heaven is coming to Jesus' feet. That's the way you get to heaven and trust him. Now, the second time in the Gospel of Luke, you'll find these words mentioned at his feet. You'll find it in Luke 8:35, and here's a new convert that comes to his feet. Now, in the first place, the sinner came to his feet. Now, in the second place, a new convert comes to his feet. In Luke chapter 8, verse 35, you have the culmination of a story about a man who lived in the cemetery. He lived and ran among the tombs in the graveyard. He was possessed of legions of devils. He lived among the tombs and cut himself with knives and lancets and was bound with chains, but like another Samson, he broke the chains and cut himself and was naked, running and streaking through the cemetery and cutting himself and nude and possessed of devils. And by the way, anybody runs across a college campus or anywhere else who's nude and the streaker is possessed of devils. The first streaker was a demon-possessed character, and all the streakers are demon-possessed characters too. And by the way, not only streakers, all these little old dancers taking off their clothes and the dirty nude movies and the rotten Playboy magazine and Penthouse magazine. If you're going to read that kind of garbage, get your name off the church roll in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Get your carcass out with a liberal bunch of people that allow that kind of stuff. Don't you keep your dirty name on the roll of this church and read your filthy Playboy magazine. You say, "Who are you telling me that?" Jack Hiles is the name. We don't need you that bad. Well, so what happened? The Bible says that he got saved. And by the way, don't you remember the story? The demons, and he was mad, the man from Gadara, and he came down, and Jesus cast the devils out of him. Where'd the devils go? Huh? They went into hogs. The Bible says that they went into swine, and the swine did cast themselves into the river. That's one reason I don't eat pork. I don't want to eat demon-possessed meat. And cast themselves in the river. I wish all the hogs in the world had that much sense. And so what happened now then with his new clothes on? Can you imagine? And the tangles out of his hair, and his hair freshly combed, and his new clothes on, and clean. Where does he go? This man who a few minutes ago was running and streaking through the cemetery. Where is he now? This man who a few minutes ago was tearing off his clothes and screaming and hollering through the tombs of dead people. Where is he now? This man who just a few minutes ago was a wild man putting fear in the hearts of all the neighbors. Where is he now? This man who a while ago was stark naked. Where is he now? This man who a while ago was cutting himself. Where is he now? This man a while ago, when bound with chains like Samson of old, broke the chains and screamed and shrieked and hollered, "Where is he now?" He's born again now. His sins are forgiven. And where do you find him? You find him clothed and in his right mind. And the Bible said he's sitting at Jesus' feet. Not only should the unconverted come and sit at Jesus' feet, but the new convert should come and sit at Jesus' feet. You know what I think? I think he said, "The demons can't get me here. Oh, that awful feeling I had before just a few hours ago. I was naked and possessed, and I was demon-possessed running through the cemetery, and I came to this man, and Jesus saved me and forgave my sins. Now look at me. My hair's combed. I have good clothes. My sins are forgiven. My name is written in heaven. I'm saved. Hey, and the safest place for me to be is at Jesus' feet. Oh, new convert, you can't make it on your own. You can't do it. You've got to stay at his feet. Hey, you know what to do? You grow in grace the same way you get saved. You get saved at Jesus' feet, you grow in grace at Jesus' feet. Now listen to me. I want the young folks to hear me especially now. You listen to me. You stay at Jesus' feet and you won't read the dirty magazine. You stay at Jesus' feet and you won't talk about sex all the time. You stay at Jesus' feet and you won't use the dirty jargon of this world. You stay at Jesus' feet and you want to have your marijuana. You stay at Jesus' feet. Somebody, in the name of Jesus, brought here a magazine. And some Jesus freak kind of people brought a magazine and a big article and pictures of women without anything on from the waist up. Trying to promote nobody, women not wearing bras anymore. And in the name of God, that's idolatry, paganism, heathenism, antichrist kind of garbage. Oh, when you stay at Jesus' feet, you stay clean. When you stay at Jesus' feet, your mind is not a cesspool of garbage. I said this morning, I have been so grieved in the last couple of days because some things that have happened at Hammond Baptist High School. Now, I think it's the best high school in the world. And one reason it is because we're not going to allow much of garbage going on at Hammond Baptist High School. You mark it down, we're not going to lie. I don't care who does it. I don't care who does it. We're going to have a decent Christian high school. If we have to kick out everybody, if Mr. Passion and I are the only folks in that school, and I may have to get rid of him, too. If that's all, I will not. I'm not going to lose my sleep. I'm not going to shed my tears. I'm not going to spend my life. I'm not going to give my labor. I'm not going to cry and die over a high school that's going to be as full of garbage like the dirty public high schools. Well, I'm not going to do it. You make up your mind, kids. Right? Listen, you look at me while I'm preaching, young people. If you snicker, I'll come back there and wipe the snicker off your face. Word came to me, for example, a boy at a high school had marijuana in his pocket, and one of the girls had enough courage to turn him in. And every single one of you who knew it, you're right with God, good turned him in. I don't even ratting on people. You're a dirty rat if you don't try to keep that high school clean. If you let marijuana run up down the halls at high school and you don't turn it in, you are a backsliding, filthy Christian who does not have enough courage. You're just like the men that watch the girls rape on the sidewalk or in city parks and do nothing about it. I don't believe in ratting on people. You backslidden, careless, non-concerned Christian, let the high school go to hell because you don't rat on people. By the way, if I find out who it is, listen, look at me while I'm preaching. Don't you dare look at me while I'm preaching. Amen. Right. If I find out the ones that made fun of that girl, if I have anything to say about that high school at all, you won't go to Hammond Baptist High School this semester. Amen. You mark it down. Right. If you even have a hint that any fool is carrying marijuana on campus, you owe it to God to turn him in. A little sick and tired. I'm tired of some folks in our high school calling others the straight crowd. Well, bless God, you ought to be in the straight crowd too. And if you're not in the straight crowd, get on your knees and get right with God. What kind of garbage is that? Somebody goes, "Oh, when he's the straight crowd." Well, I'd 10 times rather be the straight crowd than the crooked crowd you're in. Now, why don't you get out of that school and let the decent folks have it? I heard about somebody playing basketball for our school. Use a word for human refuse. Starts with an S, a four-letter word. Send it to a referee. You haven't got enough decent words to say, keep your big mouth shut. Don't you represent me. Don't you walk out of school where I'm the superintendent and represent me and these people of God. Don't you do it.
and use that kind of garbage to a referee. We're trying to witness these people, not send them to hell. Brother Will throws down the basketball team. I'll burn the gym. You say, you can't do it. You just take me to task on that. We'll not have the tournament next Wednesday unless some real repenting and getting right with God goes on in the next 3 days. I'm not going to be a party of a Christian school that's not Christian. Not. I don't care who likes it. Listen, if you want that kind of a school, you get you a little mollycoddling, pussy-footing, back-scratching, ear-tickling, penny-pinching, nickel-nicking, soft-soaping, pinky lemonade preacher, and just go your merry way toward the devil, but I'm not going to have a part in it. Not going to do it. You think you're a man. I heard that two of our boys, I wouldn't say men, you're yellow cowards, not decent enough or courageous enough to stand for God. We had a date to our teenage activity and took their date. Now, they didn't go in a motel. They didn't do anything morally wrong. But playing like it, they drove their dates up to a motel and said, let's go get our keys. If you haven't got anything any better than that to joke about, you just keep your mouth shut, you filthy-minded ogre, you. You say, well, kids will have their fun. Well, if that's the kind of fun you want your kids to have, get you another preacher.
Amen.
Very idea. That's garbage. Shall it Jesus feet, you won't talk like that. Kids on buses. Praying God. One student got up and said, I'm God. The other one says, what's your last name? Hoover Blank? Hoover Blank, that's Hoover Dam. Say, God, what's your last name? Dam, that's what they're saying. And they're saying, G-O-D-D-A-M-N. They say, that's just all in fun. Why don't you have fun singing a song and telling some decent story?
Amen.
They're playing God. That's idolatry.
Amen.
You listen to me, young people. I'll look there, everyone. You listen. Don't you waste my life. Don't you do it, you thief, you. Don't you waste my life. I only have one life to live, and a lot of it's gone. And I've given a lot of it to the young folks in this church. I've given you my life. I've given you my money. I've given you my tears. I've given you my heart. I've given you my time. I've given you my counseling. Don't you waste it. You're going to use words for human refuse, four-letter words that start with an S. Go to public school where you can do it and feed it home. But you say, I'm the star of the team. Brother, stars can be exposed just like little people can. But I'm the beauty queen. You'll be pretty in another campus. You'll be running for some other king, highness in somebody else's campus before long. Sit at Jesus! Listen, our young people ought to sit at Jesus' feet. Those halls at the high school weren't made for that. And these people here in these pews tonight did not give their last earnings, some of them, for you to look at a referee and use a dirty, filthy word. Shut your big fat mouth!
Amen.
Sound like you're preaching! Well, there's plenty of doors around here. All over this place we got doors.
Amen.
Easy for you to get out. We'll find what kind of person you really are as you leave. We've been brainwashed with this. Some of you parents, you start and say amen. You know where your kids learn it? Watching the television with you at night. We've been brainwashed by this wicked, sex-oriented, lustful, licentious generation. We've been brainwashed. Right. That was right 25 years ago. It's right tonight. What was wrong 25 years ago is wrong tonight. I will not spend 30 years of my life preaching one thing in chains just to appease a few people. I won't do it. All across the country, folks say to me, well, you preach against pants, women wearing pants, don't you? I said, yes, I did it 10 years ago. You didn't say anything about it. Because you preached it then, you yellow-bellied coward. God's money built that school. Kids, look at me while I'm preaching. God's money built that school. And no punks are going to ruin it. No, they're not. I don't care if they're football punks, basketball punks, wrestling punks, beauty queen punks, whatever, no punks are going to ruin it. You say, you must be preaching against my boy. You better go home and take care of yourself, and I wouldn't have to. I'm not talking about a few demerits for people maybe that forget and whisper in class. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about filth and garbage. We're not going to have it. We're not going to have it. Hi. This morning, a little girl in our church, our kindergarten, stayed in line for 30 minutes outside my office, and her mother stayed with her, God bless her. Time came for her to be at the door. By the way, may I say, because of this meeting tonight, I won't be able to see anybody tonight. I've got an urgent meeting I must be in, and I won't be able to see anybody in the office tonight. But I am. This little girl stood outside the door with her mother for 30 minutes, waited and scooted up a bit and waited and waited. And finally, it came time for me to see them. The mother stayed outside. The little girl came in. Little kindergarten girl, all her life here. She jumped up in my arms and kissed me on the cheek and smiled and hugged me real good. And I didn't know why she was there. I thought maybe that's where she was in trouble. I was supposed to talk to her. And so after I'd hugged her a little bit and told her how sweet she was and told her I loved her, she hugged me and kissed me. I put her down, opened the door, and said to her mother, now come on in. What can I do for you? And she said, nothing. And I said, well, what'd you come for? And she said, she just wanted to see you. And I kissed her goodbye, and I closed the door, and I said, oh, God, don't let those sweet lips ever get vulgar like some of the kids have. Some of you young people used to come in my office when you were 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 years of age, kissed Brother Hiles on the cheek, and those same lips that kissed me on the cheek now profaning a couple, some girls in the hallway, some two or three folks overheard you today in the hallway lamenting the fact. Saying, all I hear at my house is, my parents, Brother Hiles says, you ungrateful, wicked backslider, you. You ought to thank God you have some parents that tell you what Brother Hiles said. We had an old-fashioned revival in our high school. I didn't get the filth out. I didn't get the garbage out. You say, well, you just not help. I don't tend to be help, and you're not going to be help to stay in our school. You're not going to do it. Get at Jesus' feet. Those halls weren't made for that. I recall a few years ago our high school played a certain high school in basketball. And their boys used a few words that I've been spelling out tonight a little bit and implying tonight. And our basketball team got together and we had a talk about it, and they said we don't want to play that team again because we don't want to be around that kind of language. I never thought when we had that meeting that night that we'd have that kind of language coming from our basketball team. You looking at a fellow tonight that won't be bluffed or bought off.
Amen.
You looking at a fellow tonight that if everybody in this room stood up at me and said, you quit preaching like that or we'll throw you out in the street, I'd preach it while you're throwing me. I'd get out in the street and get a loudspeaker and holler it back at you. I'd go to the parking lot and play it on tape. I'd buy radio time and play it on radio. I'd run down the streets in Hamlin and preach it. You say, well, let me throw you in jail. They'd get so tired of hearing my preaching in jail, they let me out. We need decency. Shut at Jesus' feet. You won't have a dirty mind. Shut at Jesus' feet. You won't use filthy words. Shut at Jesus' feet. You won't read dirty magazines. Shut at Jesus' feet. You will love Brother Hiles' teaching where I'm preaching in this pulpit. I don't want any of this sarcastic.
Well,
you're going to be doing your little song and dance somewhere else. And don't you ever Don't you ever, as long as you live, let me find out that you criticize somebody who turns in someone for having marijuana. Don't you ever. That's the kind of crowd you want. Get your duds and get out. He said, I think y'all preach with love. I've got more love in my back pocket than these liberal preachers have in their hearts.
Amen.
You don't know what love is. You stand up and preach like I'm preaching right now. You look out and all these sea of faces and wonder how many of them are pulling guns at you right now. I wonder who's going to meet you in your office after the service. You don't know what love is, do you? I'm called a fool. I'm spit out on the sidewalks. I'm the most hated man in Hammond. Why? I want your kids to turn out right. That's why. And I'm going to die and live to see they do.
So the new convert just got saved, his sins forgiven, new clothes on, his hair combed, comes to Jesus' feet. And there's a third time in the Bible the same thing is mentioned in the book of Luke. In chapter 8, down a few verses, it tells about a man who needed a miracle who came to Jesus' feet. His name was Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who was dead. And he came to Jesus and he said, oh, would you come and restore my daughter to life? And he fell at Jesus' feet. What am I saying? Not only does the unsaved man come to Jesus' feet, now does the new convert come to Jesus' feet. But if you need a miracle, you get it at Jesus' feet. I'm talking to someone tonight who needs a miracle. You don't know how you're going to make it financially. Oh, you fall at Jesus' feet. I'm talking to someone tonight who needs a miracle of healing. You get it at Jesus' feet. At Jesus' feet, you find a miracle. I must hasten on quickly to say there's a fourth time. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, it says that Mary of Bethany came and sat at Jesus' feet. Martha was busy, cumbered about with much serving. She is in the kitchen. She is making some, squeezing some orange juice in the kitchen and making some carrot juice and making a tossed salad. And Mary came and she sat at Jesus' feet. Don't you recall? Martha said, Jesus, look, I'm in here having to cook all by myself. And Mary's getting all the goodies. She's sitting at your feet and you're teaching her. Why don't you make Mary come in here and help me do the dishes? And plan a meal. And serve it. And Jesus said, you're doing well, Martha. It's a good thing you do. But he said, Mary hath done the needful thing. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I sure am enjoying having Mary at my feet. God wants Christians, mature Christians, at his feet. Are you lost tonight? Come to Jesus' feet. Are you a new Christian? Stay at Jesus' feet. Do you need a miracle? Stay at Jesus' feet. Are you a mature Christian? Stay at Jesus' feet. Oh, at the feet of Jesus, there's comfort. At the feet of Jesus, there's peace. At the feet of Jesus, there's answered prayer. At the feet of Jesus, there's power. At the feet of Jesus, there's strength. At the feet of Jesus, there's help. At the feet of Jesus, there's solace. At the feet of Jesus, there's learning. At the feet of Jesus, there's the power of God. At the feet of Jesus, there's great blessing. At the feet of Jesus, you find provision. At the feet of Jesus, there's no loneliness. Come to the feet of Jesus. And then the fifth time it's mentioned is in Luke 17, verse 16. Notice how in Luke, so how it starts off so beautifully. First, it is the sinner. And then, the new Christian. And then, the Christian that needs a miracle. And then, the mature Christian. And then the last one is a grateful saint. In Luke 17, 16, a grateful saint came and worshipped him and bowed at his feet and praised him. And did you know the Bible says that for all the ages of eternity, we're going to bow at Jesus' feet. Oh, think of it. I see angels tonight. I close my eyes, and in my mind, I see a great crowd of angels. And in my mind, I see the host of the redeemed washed in the blood of the Lamb. I see the great rapture when the saints of God are caught up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And I see a great crowd of people that no man can number. And I see them washed in the blood of the Lamb and dressed in white robes. And I see them with palm leaves in their hands, and I hear them as they begin to sing. I gaze upon the scene, and my eyes are smitten with blindness. earth is brighter than the noonday sun. And I hear them begin a rapturous strain. How sweet the notes, how seraphic the viols. And the notes swell, and the harp began to play, and the songs rise. And as the music rises, all hail the power of Jesus' name, that angels prostrate fall. As the higher the music rises, the lower the people get, and the angels get lower, and the song gets louder, and the viols get sweeter, and the angels and Christians get lower, and the crowd, as they continue singing, the happier they get, the lower they get. And the happier they get, the lower they get. And the happier they get, the lower they get. And as the music swells and his praise becomes greater, the Bible says they fall at Jesus' feet. Oh, I'm going to be in that crowd, thank God. I'm going to be in that crowd. I'm going to be at the crowd. I'm tired of hearing him curse. I was on the airplane the other day, and it happened again. A fellow kept saying, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, and the GD and all of that. And I got up, and I walked back, and I said, sir, I don't mean to be unkind to you, but I said, I can't stand it anymore. He said, what? And I said, you've been cursing the best friend I have for about 30 minutes, and I've taken all I can take of it. Many of you folks have heard me tell about the time I was in a barbershop down in Texas, and a big, vulgar, filthy-mouthed barber was cutting my hair, and he got about halfway through, and I said, shut up! And he said, what do you mean? I jumped up, my hair was half cut, and up here up and down to here, half cut, and I got up on the chair and started preaching. I said, you've done nothing for 15 minutes but curse Jesus' name, and he's my best friend. And I said, I demand equal time. There were 16 people in that barber shop. Only sermon I ever preached in a robe in my life. Stood up and preached in that barber's smock kind of a robe thing. And the barbers quit cutting their hair, and the scissors were as quiet as little sleeping babies. And all of a sudden, our priest said, wait, and exalted Jesus. I said, you cursed him 15 minutes. I'll praise him for 15 minutes, and I did. And everybody was stunned except one fella, and that was a Negro shine boy over in the corner here, shining shoes. He was going, amen, 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 amen. Oh, listen to me. I'm tired of hearing him cursed. I'll be glad to join the blood-bought, blood-washed company of the redeemed. All of us shall praise him. We shall crown him, and he shall be King of kings and Lord of lords. But until that day, until I kiss his feet and kiss the scars that made by the nails and bow at his feet and reach out in this with Thomas of old, reach in his side and touch the scar and reach in his feet. Till I see those feet that walk the sandy shores of the Galilee. Till I see those feet that walked on the water. Till I see those feet that walked beside the River Jordan. Till I see those feet that stood there on the pavement of Pilate's court. Till I see those feet that were beaten. Till I see those feet that were weary beside the well of Sychar. Till I see those feet that trudged up the hill of Golgotha. Till the body bent beneath the load of the cross. Till I see those feet that were nailed to Calvary, and I see him. I want to bow at his feet every day and live at his feet. Oh, as an unconverted sinner tonight, come to Jesus' feet. If you're a new Christian tonight, you may think you can make it by yourself, but you can't. Come to Jesus' feet. Tonight, if you're in need of a miracle, you'll find it at Jesus' feet. You won't have to go to Oral Roberts to get it. You won't have to go to Catherine Kuhlman. I got a letter not long ago, a few months ago. Said, dear Dr. Hiles, said America's in bad shape. But said, America's not in such bad shape as long as we have preachers like you and Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman. Yeah, I think Billy Graham preaches the gospel, but I'm not worried about Kate. And I don't think oral surgery is going to do you any good either. I'll tell you what will do some good. If you'll come and throw yourself at Jesus' feet. Amen. Say, Jesus, I've gone as far as I can go. I don't know how I can pay my tuition. Jesus, Jesus. I don't know how I can make another step. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. And bow at his feet. And tonight, if you're saved, a mature Christian, he wants you to be at his feet. You never get so far because you don't need to be at Jesus' feet. Never do. Never do. And then look forward to the day and we shall see his feet. I thought this afternoon, I was thinking about Jesus when he washed the disciples' feet. I was thinking about how they must have felt when his hands touched their feet. Oh, those blessed hands. And how John must have felt when he leaned on his breast and he heard the thumping of the heartbeat of the Son of God himself. One of these days, bless God, I'm going to lean on that breast. One of these days, I'm going to touch his feet. And I'm going to kiss the scars at his feet. At his feet. How long has it been since you spent some time at his feet? That's why you drifted into sin. That's why you don't tithe anymore. That's why you rob God. You dirty robbers of the God who gives you the air you breathe and the food you eat and the clothes you have and the sunshine and rain and the health and all that's good. God gives it to you and you take 10% what's his and steal it for your own selfish use. You haven't been at Jesus' feet lately. Haven't been at Jesus' feet lately. So let me ask you a question. Would you use that dirty word if you were looking up to Jesus' face tonight? Huh? If you're looking up in Jesus' face tonight, would you play like you were God? You may not be looking up to Jesus' face tonight, but his face is looking down to you. Mother used to teach me a song. You know it. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. I don't sing it anymore. But the Father up above is still looking down with love. And he still views everything that the sons of men do at his feet. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray the word of God shall prick tonight like a thorn. I pray it'll beat like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. I pray it'll burn like a fire. I pray tonight in God's dear name that you'd help us to realize we're redeemed people. We're supposed to be at Jesus' feet. Speak to the heart of that person who's unsaved. May he come to Jesus' feet. Speak to the heart of that new convert. May he stay at Jesus' feet. Speak to the heart of that one who needs a miracle. May he come and dwell at Jesus' feet. Speak to the heart of that Mary in the audience, that mature Christian. May she stay and he stay at Jesus' feet and speak to the heart of all of us that we, like the grateful worshiper of old in Luke 17, will bow at his feet until the day that we with John of old shall see him whom John saw in Revelation chapter 1. And we shall bow at his feet and hurl our crowns at his feet and sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and glory and honor. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Have you come to Jesus' feet for salvation? Are you here tonight? You're not saved? Come to Jesus' feet. Are you here tonight with filth in your life? Come to Jesus' feet and ask him to forgive you. He will. He will. Are you here tonight outside the will of God? Come to Jesus' feet. Got some dirty magazines at home? Come to Jesus' feet. Been using filthy language? Come to Jesus' feet. Away from God? Come to Jesus' feet. Not been tithing? Come to Jesus' feet. At Jesus' feet. At Jesus' feet. Feet are very precious things. Who among us did not take the feet of our little children one time and sing, "This little piggy, say this little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home." Who among us has not kissed the precious feet of little babies? The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. That means the feet of Jesus are very precious to his people. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, some way tonight God has spoken to me. I've not spent enough time at his feet. There's some things I'm doing I wouldn't be doing if I were at his feet. God has spoken to me. There's a miracle I need. I need to come to Jesus' feet and have it performed. Brother Hiles, God has spoken to me about a need in my life tonight that can only be met at Jesus' feet. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building? All over the building? All over the building? Our Heavenly Father, we all need you. We forget it sometimes, but we all need you. Sometimes we get so busy, we think we can, by our own conniving, get the job done. But we have to come back and realize it's at Jesus' feet. At Jesus' feet. Oh, God, help us to find that's the comfort, that's the strength, that's the power, that's the victory. At Jesus' feet.